And we're going to read the second half of the psalm, Psalm 73, beginning at verse 12 and going to the end. Please give your attention to the word of God. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. We're beginning a new evening service on worship. Why worship? Why do we do what we do? Why don't we do what we don't do? It's a large topic, so it's a series. Tonight, we'll just talk about why. Why do we worship? Well, you might begin by asking, well, why do you do anything? What is the purpose of life? There's a lot of ways to answer the purpose of life. You might think, well, what has God said? What does Jesus say the greatest commandment is? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Or you might say, well, our catechism phrases it this way, the point of life, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Or you might say, we were created in the image of God, so therefore we are to reflect the glorious God. So these are three ways to say what our purpose is. We are always to love God, we are to glorify God, we are to reflect God's glory. So that's the purpose of life. Now, why worship? Why worship? In worship, we glorify God in a particular way. When we gather with others to sing His praises, then we are glorifying God in a special way, outside the ordinary. We are setting aside the games we might be playing or watching, the food we might be eating right now, the trips we might be on. It's a special way to capture the purpose of life and to glorify God. So why worship? It's a special way to especially fill the purpose of your existence. It's a way that makes you truly and especially human. Now you might say, well, I can worship God by myself, so why would I come to church? Well, you certainly can worship God by yourself. You can pray to Him and sing psalms to Him by yourself. But if you really want to glorify God, you glorify God more when you do it publicly, not secretly. How does that bring glory to God, what you do in secret? And if the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor, you have to see your neighbor. You have to meet your neighbor. You have to know what's going on with your neighbor. And you encourage your neighbor to worship when you show up for worship. Anybody notice that we're kind of scanty tonight? Does that make you feel more encouraged or less encouraged about worship? Mostly less encouraged. Yeah, okay. Well, then you come to worship to encourage and love your neighbor. We worship together because God commanded it. And if we're going to glorify God, you do it by obeying Him, not by disobeying Him. Answer number four, because Jesus promised, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If you really love God, you want Him in your midst. Four quick reasons why we are to worship God with others in the church. I could go on, but that's quite enough. You glorify God better when you do it publicly. You love your neighbor better when you see your neighbor and encourage your neighbor to worship. You glorify God better when you do what He says. You look forward to having closeness to Jesus when you gather in His name and expect His presence. The purpose of life is glorifying God. Worship is a special way that we especially glorify God. And so it's, you might say, sort of a practice for heaven. And we see that love for God in Psalm 73 at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? Now, if you think about it, that's kind of a striking question. Heaven is not empty, except for God. Heaven has thousands, millions, who knows how many angels in it. Each one very impressive, evidently. And yet, compared to God, whom have I in heaven but God? For those who have just lost a loved one, often speak particularly of looking forward to seeing that loved one again. And yet God is so much more glorious. It says, whom have I in heaven but God? And as for earth, it says, there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. This is the voice of one who has come to love God with all heart, soul, strength, and mind. This is the one who came into the sanctuary to worship God. So the purpose of worship is to glorify God, and that rules out a certain common but ridiculous attitude, which says of worship, is it my style? Now, your fellow Christians have probably not thought very much about this, so it might be nice to be gentle about it. But the important question with worship is not whether it's your style, it's whether it's God's style. There could be various things that we could create that we would think ought to glorify God, but it's up to Him to tell us. Because God in the Ten Commandments signaled His great care for His worship. Just go through them. First commandment, don't worship anyone else. Second commandment, don't use the visual arts. Third commandment, when you come to a different kind of worship, making a sacred promise to tell the truth or to do something, don't take His name in vain. Fourth commandment, there is to be a day that is special every week. With these four commandments, the first four, God signals how much He cares about His worship. So bear in mind, you're not here to please yourself. You're here to glorify God. And yet, since God is good, the source of every blessing, when you come to glorify God, you do go away changed for the better. We see this here. The psalmist, so long as he is in the world and just wrapped up in the world and the world's problems, he is confused and angry and bitter. Why are all the worst people doing so well? He wanted to understand it, but it just seemed too much for his little brain, verse 16. When I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until, 17, I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. When he went to worship, his mind was cleared. When he went to worship, he got it. All right, the truth is, they're doing well, but not for long. So when we come to worship God, we do it to glorify Him. But then His Word gives us light. Thus the psalmist is enlightened. We come and we pray, and he hears prayers. And you know, I'm not the only one who prays, right? When I give voice to our prayers, you are to pray with me and be concentrated. You'll be saying, giving your little amen to it, which you can do out loud if you want to. Fine by me. And along with it, you can say, oh, yes, and then you can, your mind can go off on another prayer path. Okay, that's fine. And you should be praying with me. It should be an intense time when we pray together here. And then he's with us because two or three are gathered, and we know his blessings. One of the greatest blessings in worship is that God uses us to help us to get back to being properly human. That is, he transforms us back into a purer form of his image. You know, we're created in God's image, but the fall mars the image. And in Jesus, we read this, we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. We have a new self to put on that's created after the likeness of God, image and likeness, likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In worship, we're strengthened to put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we come near to glorify God, and we go away blessed by him. We've heard, we hear him, we are enlightened and strengthened. And so you see the psalmist. He says, verse 21 and 22, so long as I was just sitting in the world and being envious and covetous and confused and angry, I was like an animal. He could not understand till he went to the sanctuary. And then having been there, notice the rapturous praise he gives in verses 23 to 26. He says, surely it is good to be near God, and it will be good for us as well. But here is an objection. Young people, I want to address an objection. But sometimes church is boring. Yes. What did you eat for lunch on June 1st? What did you have for lunch on June 1st? I'll help you out. It was a Friday. What did you have for lunch on June 1st? Friday, June 1st. You don't remember. Why? It must have been boring. Since eating so boring, will you stop eating? No, it might not have been exciting, but it helped get you here today. It helped build you up, and so here you are. In the same way, worship is obedience. It's glorifying to God. But as we turn to ourselves, it's also strengthening of the person. Think of the Israelites. First of all, when Moses goes to Pharaoh, he says, let my people go that they may serve me. That is, that they may worship me. They're saved to worship. And then when they're out in the wilderness to be a people set apart to worship God, how does God feed them? He feeds them with manna. Now, they got bored with manna. That comes up a couple of times. We are so sick of manna. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. And yet it was the means that God used to provide for them. It's hard to live in the wilderness. The Israelites did. The psalmist here was living in, you could say, a political wilderness, an oppressive environment. And the church is compared to Israel in the wilderness. In this wilderness, we need to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so when you go to church, sometimes it's interesting, and sometimes it's at least informative, and sometimes it's boring. But if we come with reverence and awe, not allowing frequency to breed contempt, then that helps it not to be boring either. If you're struggling with church, you've got to understand the devil throws up every obstacle he can. And that's why our catechism talks about how to come to church. It says, attend to the word with diligence, preparation, and prayer. If you can control it, try not to come to church exhausted. Now, sometimes you have no choice in the matter, particularly if you have to work the night shift or if you're a parent. But you know, if it's important, you don't want to arrive exhausted. If you do, just pray God would strengthen you in your weakness. You need to come with purpose. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to be strengthened by it and transformed by it. And then you can get your focus off yourself and just worship God. You're sort of freed from selfishness when you come to worship God. Just focus on God. Worship means glorify God. Don't think about yourself. Now, there's a lot more to say. This is just the opening sermon. But we've already seen the purpose of life: to reflect God's glory, made in His image, to love God with all your heart, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Public worship feeds into all of this. Public worship is a special time to cultivate all of this. It's a time to especially glorify Him as we worship Him with others. And because God is good, we do find blessing when we worship Him. We find answers like the psalmist in verses 16 to 20. We find strength like the Israelites with the manna. We find peace like the psalmist in verses 23 to 26. But you might want to say, why do we do what we do? Well, that's why it's a series. We'll come back to that next week.